Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Turn our attention to the critical need for more research. And to first speak to this topic, we're joined by a man whose work was crucial in assessing reduced energy production capacity in ME/CFS patients. This has sprouted multiple projects and new ideas. Would you please welcome a member of Emerge Australia's Medical and Scientific Advisory Committee and director of the Melbourne ME/CFS Collaboration, supported by our partners today, Open Medicine Foundation Australia, Dr. Chris Armstrong, PhD.
Thank you very much for that great introduction, Tracy. First, I wanted to say thank you very much for Simone for giving that powerful testimony. I think reflecting on her words and her pleas today will hold us in good stead for making change in the future. I wanted to start by talking about ME/CFS and what we can do for research needs to improve the capacity for research in Australia for this condition. ME/CFS is a chronic disease of significantly reduced function. I could talk about the symptoms, but a key thing here is the reduced capacity of function. These patients have to be able to make decisions between preparing a meal or having a shower, things that we take completely for granted because of their reduced energy capacity. Over decades, there have been many infections observed to produce a fatigue syndrome. Beyond infection, you also have surgery, pregnancy, things that can trigger fatigue syndromes like this. Researchers identified that regardless of trigger, these people have developed a similar syndrome, and coming together would help build collective knowledge and streamline treatments. This is how ME/CFS was defined and born back in the 1980s. Now, three decades later, along comes COVID, an acute infection that can trigger a fatigue syndrome. We use the knowledge that was built for ME/CFS research in this time to help long COVID patients. However, the impact that ME/CFS knowledge made on long COVID was very limited because knowledge on ME/CFS is very limited. ME/CFS is historically the most poorly funded research field compared to collective disability burden. We still don't understand why some people get fatigue syndromes. We don't have objective markers for diagnostics, nor do we have them to observe clinical trials outcomes. We don't have approved treatments to fix the condition. We only have treatments to improve the symptoms. This lack of knowledge comes from a lack of funding. You can't research a disease without funding. You can't get competitive grants without a track record of that research in that disease. It's a cycle that needs significant external funding to break that cycle. The government has recognized this cycle with the injection of $50 million into long COVID research. 250,000 Australians had ME/CFS for a decade before the pandemic, and they still suffer. Yet $5 million of funding was allocated and $3 million as a targeted call, like long COVID has just received. Now I want to talk about why funding into ME/CFS is a very smart decision for the Australian government. But first, I want to provide context of who I am and where I'm speaking from, my experience in ME/CFS field. I have been in the field for over a decade. I completed a PhD applying technology to ME/CFS that was able to identify indications of altered energy metabolism in this disease. Among other things, after my PhD, I moved to continue my research at Stanford University and I worked part-time for Open Medicine Foundation. OMF is the largest global funder of ME/CFS research. They support research hubs around the world at prestigious universities like Harvard and Stanford. My role at OMF was to canvass the literature, compile what was known on ME/CFS, attend conferences, reach out to researchers to understand what people were looking at, and report on avenues of research that weren't being looked at. At this time, I knew or had spoken to, I think, at least 90% of the entire global ME/CFS research community. And I say that because effectively what I found is that Australia themselves are probably world leaders and have a great community worldwide, or relative worldwide, probably some of the best that we have. In my time with Open Medicine Foundation, I would speak with OMF directors and the SAB, which include members of National Academy of Sciences and Nobel laureates for research. Eventually, they supported me to become director of MECFS collaboration at University of Melbourne here. And OMF set up a foundation in Australia called OMF Australia, who are supporting today. We collaborate with hundreds of researchers in Australia and globally. I think, again, it's important to note that Australia and the people that we collaborate here are as good as anyone else you'll see in the world. In 2023, 10% of research articles on MECFS had an author from an Australian university. And yet in the past decade, Australian government has supported 1% of the global investment in MECFS research. Yes, we punch well above our weight as always, but I wanted to highlight the efforts of foundations like Mason Foundation, Open Medicine Foundation Australia, and Emerge Australia that built strong footing for research in this country. And it's time we had government funding to build us into the world leaders of MECFS research that I know that we can become. An article published in 2021 highlighted that MECFS was the lowest ranked disease in terms of disease burden to dollars spent on research. This article wasn't actually targeting MECFS. It was actually about the historical inequality of funding in diseases with a female preponderance. MECFS is 3 to 1 more common in females than male, and is the literal poster child of stigmatization and historical underfunding. The authors acknowledge this in this paper. And this paper is actually quite famous now. It lifted the lid of gender inequality of disease funding, and it has formed the basis for recognition in the US regarding historical inequality in disease. President Biden has just released $100 million to boost research into female disease and plans to provide $12 billion more in coming decades. I think we all understand that to fight historical inequality, you need to boost the negatively impacted groups so that they can eventually reach that equality. MECFS deserves that investment. The National Strategic Framework recognizes this inequality. In fact, the National Strategic Framework for Chronic Conditions outlines several strategic priority areas where outcomes include strengthening the evidence-based chronic disease through research, building knowledge, and informing innovative solutions for chronic disease. Funding MECFS strongly aligns with this initiative. Also, I should draw attention to the pandemic preparedness agenda, which has definitely been a hot topic and with good reason. Yes, long COVID funding will help, but remember that long COVID is initiated by one virus. MECFS is fatigue syndrome generated by viruses, bacteria, parasites, and we don't know that next pathogen will spark the next pandemic and subsequent fatigue syndromes. To summarize, MECFS deserves funding for research to help these patients. That funding is needed to boost to existing paths in order to counter for the historical inequality in funding provided to this disease. It's a smart move for Australia to invest in this research more, because Australian foundations have built a world-leading research community in Australia, and we could be renowned for our impact in this field worldwide. With the National Strategic Framework for Chronic Disease Conditions, we are closely aligned, and researching MECFS would help with pandemic preparedness. But above all this, these people suffering matter to our community. Yes, they matter to the economy, but they mostly matter to our lives. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your work and your focus on that altered energy metabolism, one of the most mysterious aspects of MECFS, your calls for greater funding, and also for touching on that history of medical misogyny and women's issues. So thank you very much for everything that you've done.
You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one, and I hope someday you'll join.